8th verse through the 14th. There were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over the sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everyone worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." And at once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." I read and reread the Christmas story the last few weeks. And it's impossible to read the Christmas story without seeing the supernatural things, the supernatural. And one of the things that leaps out in these verses is angels. And it's interesting to me how we've already seen an angel on the screen this morning. And I didn't tell Emily to read the verse that angels do not know when Christ is going to come back. So we're going to look at angels. One of the fun times when I went to school was when a professor would say to you, "Okay, guys, put your books on the table. This is old school. We're going to have a test." Not be put your, what would be, put your computer away or whatever. So we're going to have an angel test. Justin and I worked on this together. He's going to put it on the screen. We're going to have kind of true and false questions about angels. We're going to call this angelology. That's a word. I looked that up. It's the function of angels and how they what they do. Angelology. Because this is going to be background for where we're going to go from this point in the message. I titled our message today, "What Angels Wish They Knew." I found an amazing verse in Peter. We're going to look at that later on. Okay, the first premise that I'm going to say is that angels were created by God. How many think that's true? Okay. How many think it's false? I've got a scripture for each of these, so if you contest anything, well, you can feel free to ask. We'll look them up. The next one. Christ is higher than any angel. How many think that's true? Oh, we're getting better. More hands are coming up. That is true. What's the next one? Angels sing. Is that true? Those of you that aren't voting, you don't like, you don't know about angels, or you don't know if they sing, or you're tired. Maybe. How many think maybe angels sing? Angels do sing. There'll be heavenly choirs. I just read in Luke that angels. Okay, the next one. Angels enjoy greater power than man. These could be getting harder. How many think that's true? Ooh. Okay. Looks like I better read that scripture. It's not really a scripture that says that, but from Hebrews, the second chapter, one angel slayed all the firstborn in Egypt. Remember that? One angel slaying all the firstborn. Could one man do that? Well, yeah, it's possible. How about in the lion's den? Could one man close the mouths of lions? Anyway, okay, the next one, just. God orders angels to protect you. These are kind of getting a little iffy, but how many think that's true? Oh, yeah, it's getting better. Good. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Angels do not marry and do not have the ability to reproduce. Yeah. Oh. Well, how do you guys know so much? Does anybody believe that's false? Oh, really, Chris? Oh.
So they do have the ability to reproduce.
Good point.
Or they did. I don't know.
Oh.
Did that change? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. We're getting more controversial here. Let's go to the next one, Justin. 10,000 angels. Is this true? That's a lot. 10,000 angels. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. That is true. I don't have the printed out text here. Deuteronomy 33. Verse 2. Somebody have that? Just read it. Does anybody have a different reading?
What is it?
Deuteronomy 33, verse 2.
NIV says he came with myriads of holy ones.
That's getting closer. We're going to assume that that's angels. Holy ones, angels. Let's go to the next one, Justin. Where do you think angel food cake came from? No. The Bible speaks of angel food. Is that true?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's angel food cake, but
so angels eat?
Psalm 78, verse 25. Man did eat the bread of angels. I think it was probably non-gluten or whole grain. I don't know. The Met, yeah. Oh, next one. Angels are interested in salvation of humans. How many think that's true? Can you quote the verse? There is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. That's from Luke 15, verse 10. Yeah. Another, we have any more? Oh, God speaks of his angels as messengers. Is that true? Yes. Next one. Angels die. Is this true or false? Oh, good. If angels don't reproduce and angels don't die, or angels do reproduce, That is false, right? Are we done? Oh, angels are to be worshipped. What does Scripture say about that?
No.
Right. That's a no-no. Is that it? Good. Thank you. You passed your test. Yeah. So angels pop up all over the story in the Christmas story. I talked about the supernatural. Let's not miss the very fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. I mean, that's as supernatural as you can get. So I'm not trying to put the messenger above the message in my message today, because the message is very important. But I'm kind of pointing to the messengers who were the angels. So look at the angel in the angel happening in the rest of the Christmas story. The angel tells Mary she would give birth to Jesus. The angel tells Joseph to call this new child by the name of Jesus. An angel warns Mary and Joseph to flee into Egypt. Angels everywhere. An angel tells them when it's safe to return to Israel. An angel announces the birth of Christ to the shepherds. And an angel choir serenades that whole thing. And a star, supernatural things, a star leads the Magi to the place where Jesus is born. And then there's a huge angelic choir. This is a very telling question for me as I thought about this. Can you hear the angels singing? And I think this is really a dividing line in our world. Think about this. Can you hear the angels singing? I mean, if you had been there at Jesus' birth, would you have heard the angels? Think about this. I think some of our Christmas carols are getting at this, like "Angels We Have Heard on High." Do you hear what I hear? If you would have been there, would you have heard the angels singing? The shepherds heard them. Mary heard them. Joseph heard them. But I wonder about heard. I really don't think heard heard a thing. And why? Think about this. Would you have heard the angels singing? Could the people in Bethlehem see the angels? How about in Jerusalem, which was about 8 miles away? Could they hear or could they see angels? Could the angels' voices be heard in any other places? For certain, the shepherds really did hear them, because the scripture tells us, and this isn't the message, this is my own translation, it knocked their socks off of the angels. They were afraid. It scared them to death, some verses tell us. Fear not, was the response from the angels. I think the definition of an angel is they're truly out of this world, and you can take that a couple different ways. But they come from another place. At one moment in this text that we read, the shepherds were minding their own business, and then the next moment, the sky was filled with angels. Like, wouldn't that be scary? And so the key in this verses, I think, is suddenly. Suddenly, the sky was filled with angels. You know, some people do not see because they can't see. And some people see what they want to see, and they don't see what they choose to ignore. When I was a dating teenager, I asked my dad, how will I know when I fall in love? And my mom was there too. And dad said, son, don't worry, you'll know. That's an answer? I mean, was that helpful or what? But there's some great things in life that cannot be proved by logic. College kids, a lot of things can, but there's some things that cannot be proved by logic. That's just life. So the angels speak, the angels appear, the angels reappear. You know, our eyes are constructed to see things ordinarily. We can't ordinarily see things like angels. This week I had an opportunity to strip the insulation off of a copper wire. And I looked in that wire where the electric would path through that copper. I mean, it's fascinating to me. You turn the switch on over there and the light goes on here. Now you tell me how something there makes something happen here. Some of you people are very techie. Can you do that? I'm kind of baffled. I didn't see any paths on this electric copper wire. I don't know how that happens. Some of you know I'm a farmer, and I live about a half mile off the farm, and I go down every morning to the farm. And a few weeks back, I went down, and my headlights on my gator hit three deer standing in my path. That's very unusual, three deer. Now, it was really dark, and the deer saw me before I saw them, I'm sure. But for the deer to get away from me, either I had to run into Kate and Grace's trampoline or Alara's garden or go up a steep bank, and they were out of there. And I looked in the pond, and they weren't laying in the pond. So they have a vision that I don't have at night. Like, they see things that I don't see. It hasn't happened yet, but it's very common for geese to fly in a V formation as they head to warmer territory this time of the year. And their guidance system is incredible. I don't know how they form like that. I mean, who's going to be on the end of the V? And who's going to be up front? In Numbers, you can read about Balaam. Do you know this story? Balaam was to not speak very kind words to the enemy. And so Barak asked Balaam if he would go and tell them, actually curse them. And Balaam went with his donkey. And on the way, the donkey, the Bible says the donkey saw an angel and stopped. And so Balaam got off and beat the donkey. Like, what are you doing, donkey? Donkeys talk here. And it happened second time. And then Balaam's eyes were open and he saw the angel. So angels appear and reappear. Now let's not confuse angels with the Holy Spirit. And I think maybe there's less, at least we recognize less angel activity now because the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. But the Holy Spirit indwells within men when they are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Angels do not indwell. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing and all-present and all-powerful. The angels are mightier than men, but they are not omniscient. They don't know everything. The Holy Spirit convicts men of sin, not the angels. They don't do that. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere at the same time, not an angel. An angel can be only at one place in a given time. We know the Holy Spirit as a spirit. The angels, probably not as a spirit, but they could be. It could be visible. So what do you see when angels are present? People in the Bible were confronted by God or by his angels, all had a consistent response, and that was one of fear. And God's response to them was, don't be afraid. When they sensed that God was accepting them and wanted to communicate them, the fear kind of went away, the fear subsided. So often when we see angels coming in contact with people, they had an urgency. I think one of the words we would use today that would go with angels is hurry up. And so you see words in the Bible like get up, arise quickly, an angel said to Peter, go quickly, an angel said to Joseph, or suddenly, as with the shepherds. They use haste words. Are angels visible or invisible? Both. In Daniel 6:22, the scripture says, my God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Probably invisible. I'm not sure that Daniel saw an angel. Visible, the guards said an angel had rolled away the stone from the tomb of Jesus. Apparently they saw that. Both visible and invisible. When the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace, the king said, I see four in there. Well, many of us can recall times when angels were present in our lives. And we were miraculously protected. I could tell you a couple stories where that was definitely obvious. But in our lives, there was an almost plane crash or a near car wreck or a fierce temptation, and we knew that there was something that was with us, that was helping us. The Bible seems to indicate that angels do not age, and it never says that an angel was sick. And holy angels never die. And the Bible says that man was made a little lower than angels. But nothing in the scriptures say that angels must eat to live. Interesting creatures. Angels know more than man, but they don't know everything. We'll see that in a little bit. Angels cannot testify of salvation by the grace through faith. Angels cannot testify to salvation by grace. And this is where my concordance showed me this, but I think the Holy Spirit showed me this in 1 Peter, if you'd like to turn to this one. 1 Peter, the first chapter. Very interesting. I didn't know this was in the Bible. And so this is kind of the engine of my message this morning. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. I think this is a hard passage. I had to read through this about a dozen times and really, really break it down. Verse 10 of 1 Peter 1 reads, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Things in which angels long to look. Amazing. In these few verses, we're talking about prophets and angels. I don't think there's any place in the Bible that those are put together. An interesting passage. At first glance, this whole thing seems very unclear. Like, what? What is Peter saying? Let's break it down and see if we can get some understanding here. because angels know more than men, but here's something that the angels were longing to know more about. What did the angels wish to know? Well, prophets were men in the Old Testament through whom God spoke, like they would say, now, a word from the Creator. That was a prophet. So prophets predicted, in the text, prophets predicted the coming of Christ. You see that in these verses. The early church preached Christ to everybody. You see that in here. But angels long to understand the salvation that Christ brings. Angels long for this. Now, angels, if you're so smart, why? What's going on here? And so a bottom line of the scripture to me is that we know more than the prophets never knew. We know more than the prophets never knew or ever knew. And we experience what the angels didn't experience. This is amazing. Kept me awake at night, really. So, wow. We got something over the angels. There's probably, and this would be another sermon, there's probably 300 plus prophecies in the Old Testament relating to the coming of Jesus. Wow. Some that we know very well. One was from Isaiah, who says he will be born of a virgin. Now, I can see Isaiah, when he gave this prophecy, scratching his head and say, what do you mean, God, by this? We had some of this at New Beginnings a few weeks back. You remember the Holy Spirit gave some of us a picture in our mind, and we said, I don't know what this means. When I thought about that, I thought, wow, yeah. But I can see God saying back to Isaiah when he says, what does this mean, God? God's saying, don't worry about it. Or there's a prophecy of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Like, this is 1,200 or 1,500 years before it actually happened. Or in Psalms, David says that Jesus will teach in parables. Now, try to think of it this way, because this was helpful to me when I came across this. Prophets are, there might have been 20 to 25 prophets from many different places over probably a 1,500-year period, trying to put together a 1,000-piece puzzle where no one has all the pieces, and no one has the picture on the front of the box. Well, I didn't choose this text because of prophets, but Peter spends, 90% of the few verses that are read on prophets. So at the end of this text, the scriptures tell us that the angels long to look into the things relating to our salvation. Angels, don't you understand this? Long in Greek, when the angels long in Greek means they stand on tiptoe to see. Or the other side, another word in Greek for longing is that they stoop down like John looked into the tomb to see the empty tomb. Now, this is exactly the reverse of I think what should be happening. If I told you, come over here, let's look into this door and see angels, I bet we crowd around the door. But here the angels are crowding around our door to see what's this like. They want to try to understand our salvation. Now, the sum of this is duh. But let me say first, angels are not saved. Angels are not saved, holy angels. And the duh is that because angels are unsoiled. I mean, that's not too hard to figure out. So there are no saved angels. So our salvation is not for angels, but it's for us. Salvation is for us. Jesus died to redeem a fallen man and woman, not angels. Now, there are good and there are bad angels. We understand this. If you read Revelation, about a third of the angels fell and followed. We know their leader is Satan, Lucifer. Of all the creatures in the world, in the universe, we alone can experience God's saving grace. So the angels do not know the joy of salvation. Well, they are aware of the joy, but they do not know. because they rejoice when a sinner is saved. So they cannot personally testify to something that they did not experience. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say that the Holy Spirit indwells angels. So they never experienced new life. They never experienced new birth. They never experienced a new beginning. The wonder of deliverance from sin is something they never experienced. So what did they mean? What were they asking that they longed to look into our salvation? I think the angels were really surprised that God loves us so much. The angels are amazed at that. Angels don't know about grace. They don't know about mercy. They don't know about forgiveness. Think of what we have seen. I had to think about what I have seen. At the end of my street, a mile long, is Gish Road. Many years back, moved into a farm, a guy from Hell's Angels from Philadelphia. He was a knife-carrying motorcycle driver. And the neighbors were scared of him. I was. And he decided he wants to be a pig farmer. Of all things, why would he choose to do that? Because he wanted me to be his mentor. Like, I don't want to do this. But you know, after a few years of living in our community, he accepted Jesus. We see the transformation, the change, the forgiveness, the mercy of God. I served my draft time serving in helping the Indian Americans come to know Jesus. And one night we drove into our mission in Texas, southern Texas, and laying in the ditch was a Navajo Indian who was dead drunk. The doctor said that if we would not have seen him, that he would have died. But the thing that kept him alive from the cold and the freezing was his alcohol. I guess it was antifreeze to him. So we brought him into the mission, and when he went through a detox that night and the next day, and a few months later, he was a Bible teacher. Amazing. Transformation. The angels can't experience that. We can see that on this side. I think angels, both good and bad, have a great influence on the world, and probably a greater influence than we're generally aware of. The powers of the evil world seem to be getting the most attention of our minds. I looked in the newspaper this week, and to look at some of the movies that are on at the theater, like what? Demonic activity and Satan worship are on the increase in our world. I don't think that's anything new to us. But I really personally think that the devil is getting too much attention. The Bible does teach that Satan is real. And its bent is to defeat the work of Jesus. But should not the supernatural powers of God's holy angels be more impressed on God's people than what we're experiencing? I had to think of some takeaway ideas from angels and from our being together this morning. I went to Bible school all my life. I think I was probably carried to Bible school in diapers. And one of the things I learned early on was all night, all day, angels are watching over you. I learned that as a 4, 5, 6, or 8-year-old kid. And I didn't know what that meant now. But some of the most precious words in Bible, in all of Scripture, hear this, were spoken by Satan himself. Some of the most precious words in Scripture were spoken by Satan. I don't think he intended it to be this way, but in discussing with God about Job, Satan said, "Have you not made a hedge about him?" This is in Job 1. "In his house and all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." Satan recognized that around Job was a hedge. And how often do you pray for a hedge? Do you know what you're praying for? And it may not just be for angels, but a hedge. Angels are watching over us all the time. If you think you're doing something that's not being watched, rethink that. Another idea. We may see the angels God has sent to us, but fail to recognize them. that happen in scriptures. Hebrews 3:2 says, be ready with a meal or a bed when needed, for some have extended hospitality to angels without even knowing it. About Wednesday this week, I turned on the TV to watch news. I don't like to watch news. It's not good for you. But this news was, and this would be very attractive for a farmer, this news was a turkey, and he was beside President Obama. Like, what? I mean, if you have a turkey with a president, you got to watch what's happening. So President Obama was pardoning a turkey. There were two turkeys, both 40-pounders. Like, what does pardoning a turkey mean? I think he was picking out the turkey from his teeth while he was pardoning a turkey. But anyway, and then the newscaster said, when we're all done showing this, I want you to come back to us because we're going to tell you what happened to these turkeys. You know what? I dare Obama to pardon come Christmas time, to pardon. Now, pardoning means to be released from punishment, or it means to be forgiven. Does our president understand that? That Jesus came to pardon. Is he going to tell us that? Pardoning a turkey. Great. We experience salvation that the angels never experienced. The Christian worldview is very supernatural. Very. You take the supernatural out of the Christian worldview, and what's left? I mean, it's history. We believe this world is not the real world, but that Christ came from the real world into our world. We believe that this world is just my home. I'm just a passing through. I think if we listen with all our heart, we can hear the angels. I dare you to do that. If we listen with all our heart, we can hear the angels. What did the angels really want to know? And we can experience that. May God help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for angels, and we thank you for your love for us and that you sent Jesus to us. And we realize that we live in a world that gives us much more than we can handle. So help us, Father, to be vigilant, to look for those things that you have there for us that protect us and guide us, and help us to be thankful for that. And so go with us now as we go our way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.